Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. You have me and Sean again, these sort of emerging great relationship friends here, and share some experiences and some thoughts from what's been going on in our lives. Sean invited me to his gym last weekend, and I left there feeling energized and excited, and I learned, and some of it was hard, but it was like so fun to be there with you, Sean. So thanks for inviting me. And for, I don't know, someone said I now have a new personal trainer. So role in my life.
Yeah. No, the pleasure was all mine, Joe. Thank you so much. I talked to Emma about how grateful I was for us to have that opportunity. And I'll give you guys the background here. Joe's a jet setter. I'm in his hometown, but he's not here too much. I was like, Joe, when's the next time you're in Denver? I'm going to hold you down. And he was, I'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was like, can you make time for me? He was, absolutely. And I know Joe likes to take a run, and I was like, hey, that's an easy way. That's how I am too. It's a good way to get on people's schedules. Oh, we both like to run? Let's go run. And then let's do a nice long stretch after and chat. And I said, Joe, let's take a run. And what I really wanted to say was, let's lift some heavy weights. And Joe responded, he said, it was something I'd love to run. If you want to do, that's what we can do. But I think I would get more value out of going to the weight room with you and then sauna and cold plunging. And I was, this guy is not scared of attacking something that I would say is probably like your weakness, right? More than like comparatively to running. It was awesome. We have a private gym here, B23 Athletics. If you're in Denver, it's awesome. And I mean, me and Joe, we hit the sled. We deadlifted with plates and chains on. We had a full body attack, heavy dumbbell bench, rows. I loved it, Joe. And I think you really, really made me feel good about myself, honestly. Like, you made me feel, wow, like Joe's this guy. He's successful. He's fit. He's happy. And I'm able to bring him value, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's actually just a testament to your curiosity, to your listening skills, and your drive to get better. And it's something that's what I walked away from that day. And wow, like, don't forget, like, you can learn from everyone, and then you should learn from everyone too, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. And it was so fun to feel like the student, you know, and learning, right? Because I want to know more about, you know, strength and conditioning in a different way. The one dimension that I've developed pretty well, like, I don't need to practice that really, but I need to practice more. And I think the other thing, Sean, you're an expert, you know how to do this. I like the way you answered my questions as well. The other thing you never did, never intimidated me or anything by trying to show up, show off, none of that, you know. And so then you made me feel successful as well as learning, which is another part of this dynamic. It's not just that we're fanboys of each other. It's actually an important lesson around life and how we show up for each other. I think I said to you when we were seeing the sun, it's funny to be a leader and a follower. The best person in the world does both, because when you are in the role of being a leader, you should do that with strength. And when you're a follower, because that's important to learn, then you should do that with respect. Mm-hmm. And if you're intentional about both, boy, it really gets so much better. And so I think thinking back, because there were so many exercises you showed me, some of them that I could do in a hotel room. If I show up in a gym, I'm not afraid of trying. I actually really, I never deadlifted in my life. And so it was fun to do that. And you started off with some light weights, and I just thought, okay, but the key, what was the key, Sean? Technique, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm sitting in a hotel room this week and I'm changing channels, and there was a guy who set a record for deadlifting, and all they talked about was his technique. And they were, why is he doing it? Better technique, not like bigger muscles, just use the muscles better. Like, this is a great.
Yeah. Well, just something there is, there's a guy, Kelly Starrett. He's one of the best mobility coaches out there. He helped the guy at the time hit the world record for deadlift. And he helped them go from 900 pounds to 1,050 pounds in 3 months. Okay. First of all, he's a mobility coach. Second of all, that is an enormous, enormous jump. Now, for me to add 150 to my max deadlift is not that crazy, because I haven't practiced my max deadlift, right? It'd probably jump every week for the first few weeks. The way he did it was improving his ankle mobility, because when he was lower in the deadlift, he was able to access the hamstrings and glutes more because his ankles weren't causing tension, right? And I think it just, that lesson in and of itself is not that important, right? What's important is understanding there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. right?
But it's also this other thing, Sean, though, but what you just said is that you have more power than you're using. Latent capabilities sitting there that's getting in the way of your high level of performance. I don't care if it's a deadlift, if it's showing up for a meeting, if it's writing a paper, if it's having a conversation, it's like pull on all of your resources. And sometimes you don't know how to pull on those resources. And when you learn that, my sort of life fantasy here is getting everyone to reach deeper into their potential. And we probably never fully reach it because there's parts of the system that are just waiting to be triggered.
Well, there's parts of this. Sorry.
No. And anyway, that's what this was, just a living example of that.
Yeah. Well, there's parts that I couldn't agree more with that. And just to like add on, I was thinking, again, guys, this was Joe's first time thing. Throwing on a bunch of weight one time deadlifting is not going to help. But I wanted him to start to feel some load. And, you know, we put on a plate. He did that fine. We had a big hex bar, which was like 80 pounds. Put on another 25. And that's when, like, I saw at the bottom, right? That if anyone's deadlifted, the bottom getting going is tough. Yep. And I said, I'm going to go grab some more weight. And I kind of saw your face. And I didn't go grab plates. I grabbed chains. Because chains, there was maybe only one or two links hanging. The rest were sitting on the ground. So in that bottom vulnerable position, you had no more weight. And then when you stood up and you're stronger up here, you had more weight. So now your nervous system and your skeletal system is getting used to holding on to more. And the reason that I was so impressed that you were open to that is because you were like open to new, like you're open to new ways to adding more weight, right? It's like a lot of people think, oh, adding more weight, there's only one way to do it. Slap more weight on, it's going to hurt my back. No. Something else that we did was we flipped the bar. So like I've been doing deadlifts for 15 years. So I had a little lower of a grip. You were starting a little higher, right? Because look, when you're bending down the weights below your knees and we're talking hundreds of pounds, it's a vulnerable position if you're not used to it. Like let's get comfortable there and then maybe flip that bar back over so you can start 3 inches lower. I just, for anyone out there, I just want them to think, me and Joe aren't talking about deadlifting. We're talking about trying new things and achieving goals. There are so many ways to go about it. There really are. And like, you know, there's a book called Everything's Figureoutable. Never read it, but I love the title. The title. It's just no excuses, you know?
I think that this is one of the resistances that we get, right? Oh, I can't go with you, Sean, because you can lift more than me. Oh, I can't go with you, Joe, because you run too fast, which isn't even true anymore anyway. But I actually think that I'd rather go out with an expert and have them show me the saying that goes something like this, that if someone is really good at something, they will never show you up because they don't need to. So Sean didn't have to prove anything to me that day because he's good at what he does, but then he could be there for me, right? But it's the people who are there for themselves. That's the problem. And sometimes that gets in the way. So if you find someone who's really, really good, I think that spending time with them is the secret to any of life's improvements. And even if you don't use it immediately, you've now created this reference point. I did order the bands. They're coming today. So I can start using the bands as I go around in my travels. Because wow, who would have thought that pulling on some piece of plastic could be so much effort? You don't have to even move any weights and you can do this. So all this learning, wow, it's just opened the aperture in a way that I probably didn't fully expect.
Well, that's something else. Like lifting weights is not what we're doing. We're doing strength. We're doing strength training and resistance training, right? And that's like what you're saying, like bands can do it too. Everyone, oh no, weights are too expensive. Like I don't have room for weights. I travel. Look. I've been traveling and broke and been working out every single day. I like to use something that I feel accomplished and to use as an example to be able to translate to others. But Joe is like, Joe, you made a good comment. Sean, like, I need some alternatives. I'm usually in a hotel that doesn't have this equipment, right? Like we're not deadlifting with chains in the Hilton.
Right.
And I'm cool. Well, like what we need to do is we strengthen the glutes and hips. Buy a couple bands. You could do workouts that burn with some of those bands. And they're $10 or less. You could put them in your pocket, right? There's nothing but,
Yeah, I think that the other part of the story, I read something this morning that, I don't know, just worried me. This person contextualized that life is hard. And I had just come back from a run and do it every morning. And some days are faster than another and some are more effort than another, but they're never hard. They're never hard. This is a blessing. This is excitement. This is an opportunity. And so when you put it into this, like, the, well, if you make the right hard choices, then you'll get better in your life. I actually think I'm making the easier choices to actually go do something. And I think that sometimes we reframe in the wrong direction around, oh yeah, I can't get that done because of this, rather than, I wonder how I can get it done and how great would that feel from the success, rather than the struggle. Whether it's a struggle in the activity isn't the point. That's fine. But we can't have it be a struggle in the choice, because that's up to us. And we get more benefit when we make good choices. So that should not be a struggle.
Yeah. A couple of things came to my mind there. Well, three different thoughts came to my mind there at once. One was, I worked for Fabulous, which is an app. That helps you develop better habits. And we worked with world-class behavioral scientists like Dan Ariely on how to help people build habits. And they said, the first one is to understand that motivation starts after the task has begun. I know you're going to laugh and just relate to this, but you're a runner, I'm a runner. I don't feel like running most days, but you get your shoes on. If you listen to music, you get your headphones, you pick out a fun trail or part of the neighborhood and you start running. It's funny. 5 minutes in, 10 minutes in, you're like excited about it, right? I mean, there are days I just don't want to run. And understanding that motivation comes after is really something that I've cherished and tried to practice. So I have stuff like the 2 minute rule, where it's like any task, I just think, what's the first 2 minutes of that task? Cool. I don't want to write this business plan. Well, let me get all distractions away. Let me get a document out, write the best business plan ever at the top, and just be there. Once you have the document open, distractions are gone, you're starting. It's almost easier to just get it done, you know?
I don't know. I agree with all that. I think that the question, as I was listening, is like a little bit of, when you do nothing, what's exciting about that? Yeah. I don't know. I think we should ask that question of ourselves. It might feel, I guess, something like comfort, but I don't think there's anything exciting. If we're just doing
Tim Ferriss, it's so funny. Everyone talks about peace and happiness. Tim Ferriss says we should optimize for excitement, not peace and happiness, which it's funny you use that word.
Yeah. So I think for me, like it was easy because I turned it exciting to show up and work out with Sean, your partner. Emma was there. We marveled at her discipline around working through an injury, taking the time to stretch and strengthen and push and pull with a sort of really, I don't know, this very calm to it. It wasn't this urgency, like, I got to get through this. It was, I'm doing this and it's good and I'm going to keep doing it. It was actually fun to watch in that way. Oh boy, I could aspire to have that level of calmness in doing a whole series of movements that don't look like they're doing a whole lot, but in fact really were. So kudos to her as well.
Yeah, I'll definitely send that on. And it's funny because today, the way we structure the workouts at the gym is we go warm up, big, heavy, intense lift, intense like cardio, and then accessory work. And the accessory work today was a lot of a band around the knee. Do this, like I'm doing this with my leg, like 30 times. Cool, do the other one. And Bo, the coach, was walking around today and he goes, I want to let you guys know the attention you bring to your accessory work shows what type of athlete you are. And he would, and I couldn't agree more. Like if you're deadlifting as much as you can, you're going to bring your attention to it. Anyone can do that, yep. Right? If you're working on a micro movement, like you need to be dedicated. And I always believe the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So that's true. I got to tell you, when you were talking about doing things like challenging, I just listened to Sam Harris, who's like a greatness mind, mm-hmm. on Andrew Huberman's podcast. And he was talking about suffering. And he mentioned that the difference between pain and suffering from that pain versus just experiencing that pain is that suffering doesn't happen if you're present and if you're in the here and now. And pain is just a sensation. Being sad from that pain is, oh no, I'm scared about being injured. Oh no, maybe I'm missing out on this. Oh no, there's going to be a surgery that costs a lot of money. I'm going to miss work, whatever. They could be real things, but we always talk about being here now or being where your feet are, right? And that's something I realized, like, there is a big difference between pain and suffering. And like, if I'm running and I'm getting tired, being tired's okay. Like if we get upset, particularly upset about it, it's probably because we're thinking we're going to continue to be hired. It's going to continue to be hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wanted to float that to you and kind of get some feedback on that.
The English language and the dictionary and the definitions and then how they show up in our lives. Every once in a while, we've been often significantly influenced by what we learned early on about a word and or how someone else thought about it. So I think that the Buddhists go in a lot about suffering, right? And it's sort of, I always thought that the suffering was this bit of acceptance of the circumstance and working through it. And that's okay. And that the pain is real. Sure, always. It's trying to discern a sort of critical pain versus just a nagging pain. Like you might have ultra marathon. It's going to end, not broken foot, or maybe you're going with a broken foot. But the suffering is the attitude that you bring with you throughout this process. And so on another side, suffering is about acceptance, which would then reframe what suffering is. It's about accepting the circumstance that you're in and that this is part of the process of either growth or traveling on the journey. And so we keep working on these words. I don't know if the characterization, whether he's right or others are right, is to me, it comes back to this, which is we're going to make a bunch of choices. And if we're going to grow and develop, which is what humans tend to do, from when we're born, we grow and develop in many ways. We grow in height and in weight and our hair grows longer and we get smarter and we have more experiences. And there's these moments where it's pulling harder on our system to grow into the next phase. And the best life is the one where you go with that and you grow with that and you work through, because like if we went to a cellular level, they're ripping apart and reforming. So yeah, it's going to feel uncomfortable emotionally when you didn't do as well on a test as you wanted to, or didn't get the promotion because you need to learn more and you work harder and you develop it and build it. And it's the ability to accept what happens during the growth stages of our lives. To me, that's where the magic can happen. If we want to call that suffering, fine, whatever word we want to use, it's probably imprecise. But I want to grow into being comfortable with how life evolves, and the slope of that curve will really dictate where you end up ultimately.
I appreciate that analysis on language. I really do. I was running a 5K a couple weeks ago, and I kept telling myself that this was, I was trying to set my PR. I kept telling myself this was hard and I was in pain. And I run with no watch, anything like that. I had someone timing me. So you're just in your head. And I started thinking, what does hard mean, right? So first of all, it's a made up word. Every word's made up, but it is made up. It's relative, right? It's subjective, right? It's not a fact at all. It is completely subjective. And it's a way to kind of like relate to others to feed your own ego, I think. It basically is saying I'm doing something hard, right? And so I'm realizing, wow, what just a lousy use of language I had there. So I'm running and I keep going through this. I said, let's just be objective. There's a book called The Happiness Equation by Mo Gaudat. And he says, all self-talk and really all talk should be objective. It often sounds more boring, right? But it should be objective and no judgments. So I started running. I'm saying, I'm breathing deeper and faster. That's a fact, right? Yep. I'm wrong with that. And I said, well, actually, breathing deeper and faster is what I do when I do my Wim Hof breath work. That makes me feel great. That's hard too, hard, but that makes me feel great. So let's just change this to say I'm feeling great. Then the other thing was I felt pressure in my legs, right? My legs weren't tired. I had pressure in my legs. And I was, okay. You know what I mean? I'm sensing them more. That's really it, right? And I realized that, like, both these things actually are bringing me more into the present moment.
Yeah.
So now instead of saying I'm tired, I'm going to say, wow, I'm present and focused. That's how I feel right now. Because it was completely true. I got my PR. It was the rest of the run. I felt like I was just super fueled, you know, and that's kind of the stuff that the mind can do for you. And on that same Sam Harris podcast, it's funny, something else came to me. He talked about his first experience with psychedelic drugs. And he said the one takeaway he had is that language just doesn't cut it. He's like, he said, language just is not an appropriate tool to convey things that we need to convey.
I think we're going to actually hold it right there. And you know what we're going to do, Sean? Each time we're going to pick on some words that we think need a deeper discussion, because I do think it'll help all of us sort of navigate to what we're both really reaching towards, which is every human has more potential than we can actually sometimes reach. And we don't want to put anything in the way of making that happen. So, hey, everyone, come with us on this journey. Let's go chase tomorrow together. Anytime you want to get in the gym and move some weights, give Sean a call.
Thanks, Joe.